Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those moments, those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading, My Pledge, he had written these words, America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we are so grateful that you have joined us. And today is Memorial Day 2011. What an awesome time for America. And Ms. Barbara joins us today. She is one of our greatest historians. I do say that because she stirs a love for God and country. And that, to me, makes her so great. So thank you, Ms. Barbara, for joining us today.
Thank you, Diana. And you know what we always say, to know America is to love America. The more we know, the more we love our great country. Just like it is with the Lord, the more we know him, the deeper our love for him.
Indeed, Ms. Barbara. You know, and it's such a privilege, Ms. Barbara, to have you and Mr. Wayne both coming on as regulars. So, you know, remembering our heroes of the past and present is really nothing out of the ordinary for us. This is something that we do on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, we play Ronald Reagan almost every other day, it seems like. And we want to honor them. We want to remember that, you know, they are the reason that we have such a blessed land. They have fought for us, sacrificed their families and their own lives for us. And so we always want to remember them, and today is just a very special day for others to come and join in remembering them. But as always, we ask that you, you know, tell about this program with your friends and family, because America needs to remember. And unfortunately, a lot of things that we talk about here are not being taught in the schools anymore. And with teachers like Ms. Barbara, who have such a passion for God, for country, for the stories of God's hand in the hearts of people, that, you know, they sacrifice of themselves so greatly, it's something that our children must remember. Otherwise, they flounder. They don't realize, you know, we have such awesome heroes that want better for them. Unfortunately, so many of them miss out on this opportunity. But as always, we like to give the program over to God in prayer. So if you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, would you start us off in prayer, just like the founders did?
Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is, Lord, to come before you. We thank you, Father, for this time. This time, Father, on this earth, that you have chosen, Father, for us. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for each time and each person. Father, we thank you for those who've gone before us. Especially, Father, we thank you on this day, Memorial Day, when we remember those who gave their all for freedom, Father, that we might live. We thank you, Father, for their families that have sacrificed. We thank you, Father, and we ask, Father, your blessing upon those families that are living today, Father, without their loved ones who laid down their lives in defense of their country. Father, we pray your richest blessings upon them, Father, their loved ones. And we pray, Father, that their memories of their loved ones will be blessed. We thank you, Father, for the gift of life and the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, who laid down his life willingly and bore our sins upon his very own self, that we might be free from the burden of sin. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his all. And I pray, Father, that many, 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 Father, who listen to this broadcast will give their all to him, Lord, that they might know Jesus Christ, who is eternal life. We thank you now, Father, for this time that we have on the radio show, and we're so grateful, oh God, that we have that opportunity to share our thoughts and share those things that we've learned, Father, that you have taught us and you have shown us, that you've allowed us to discover. And I thank you, Father, it's your desire that we do learn and discover and know. You tell us in your word that we're to love you with all our, not only all our hearts and strength and might, but with all our minds. And I pray, Father, that we would hearken and heed your word, and that we would develop what you have placed within us with our minds, Father, that we might love you fully and completely. We thank you, Lord, and we ask now that you would just be with us, and, Father, that you would guide and direct our thoughts and our words, and, Father, that there would be those to hear and receive your truths, your message, your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Ms. Barbara, you know, it's a day that we can really just talk about the many blessings in this nation, the stories of the past and present. So if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you to start with some of the stories about the beginning of this nation. If you don't mind, Can you speak about the one that I love to hear, which hopefully a lot of people have heard, but they may not have? You know, since we do the show, I have been hearing a lot of these kind of stories, and it just blesses me. And one of the stories is about George Washington. You know, we see that picture of George Washington kneeling, you know, in the woods, and a Quaker had heard him and, you know, his prayer and said, hey, you know, God is going to be on this man's side. He's heard this prayer. What an awesome prayer. But that's one of the pictures that I think we've seen a lot of George Washington. And another one was a picture of him kneeling by a horse. If you don't mind, set the story about that, because from what I understand, I think it was in the winter, I can't remember what year, 1776 or 1777, they said that you could follow the steps of our men because of the bloody footprint on the snow. If you could share a little bit about that story.
I'd like to. You know, the man that you're referring to who found Washington kneeling in prayer and overheard him and witnessed that was a man by the name of Isaac Potts, and he was a Quaker. And, you know, Quakers are pacifists. They don't believe in going to war. And so it made it even more significant that he understood that this was a fight that had to be fought and won, and that God would hear George Washington's humble prayers and pleas. And, you know, that's one instance, and that was, of course, Valley Forge. And but there were many, many, many instances and many, many prayers that we have of George Washington at various times. He would ask Congress, the Continental Congress, to set aside a day of prayer and fasting when something, when he needed specific direction and guidance, which was frequent. Because, you know, one of the comments that George Washington made when he accepted that position as general in the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army was that I do not feel adequate for the task before me. So he leaned on God so much during those years of war. And God was faithful to hear and answer his prayers and lead and guide him, even with specific battle plans, such as the Battle of Trenton. He had asked for a day of prayer and fasting for our nation through the Continental Congress, and which was done. And as a result, even though he was advised by the generals that this was not a workable battle plan to take Trenton at this time, that the Delaware River was full of ice and not it couldn't be done, he had a certainty within his heart that this was the plan and that he must work this plan. And so he went ahead, being the great leader that he was. He forged ahead. I believe he had that inner conviction that God was leading him. And the results certainly show that it was a surprise attack against the Hessians. And even though the river was ice-filled and it was very hard transporting the troops across that river over to Trenton, and there was a snowstorm that wet the powder, the gunpowder in the guns. Of course, Washington told them then to use the bayonet. But the results were spectacular. He captured Trenton. He captured all the Hessians, something like 900 of them, caught them off guard, captured all the artillery that the Hessians used there, and we did not lose one soldier in battle, not one. There were two who had had frozen. It was so cold. It was so very cold. But not one did we lose in battle. I think maybe several were wounded. James Monroe, who became our fifth president of the United States, was one of those that was wounded in battle at Trenton. But the results were spectacular. It was a tremendous victory. And because of this victory then, at a time when the recruitment was, the time was up for those who had been recruited, General Washington would be virtually left without an army. But because of this victory, then recruitments came in. There were those who were willing to sign up and fight with this general who had just won this great victory. And by the way, the motto for the Battle of Trenton that he wrote, that General Washington wrote down, was victory or death. And of course, he was quoting from a general who had preceded him, General James Wolfe, at the Battle of Quebec in the French and Indian War, where he was facing very difficult circumstances, and that was the motto for that Battle of Quebec as well. But God heard and answered prayer, and General Washington was one who always, always was praying. And the time at Valley Forge was when Isaac Watts overheard him and said, "I believe that this war is going to be won by the Americans."
And Miss Barbara, on Valley Forge, you know, to me, it just made such an impression to me, because from what I've heard you and Mr. Wayne say, those men, I mean, their footprints were really, you know, just in red, because a lot of them did not even have shoes. There were supplies supposedly where they were going, but that the British had found out where the supplies were hid and had gotten a hold of them. But these men were really, they were starving. They were, they really didn't have proper clothing, and yet they stayed. Can you say a little bit about that?
Well, the fact that they stayed, that was truly a miracle. They did stay. Washington, again, was the example to them. He stayed. Now, when they took up headquarters out Valley Forge, there was nothing. There was no housing or anything. So General Washington ordered the housing to be built, and he actually designed the housing for the troops, a very simple housing, but one that would be adequate against the cold, and even the way he designed it against the north wind and so forth. It was simple but adequate and quick to assemble, to build. And General Washington led by example. He did not take up winter headquarters in any housing save his tent, because his men were in tents. So General Washington lived in a tent until their housing was built. General Washington and Lafayette would make the rounds and every day to encourage the men, pray with the men. The fact that they stayed was the miracle. Now, it was at Valley Forge also where Baron von Steuben from Prussia came. General Washington put him in charge of drilling the troops and taking them from a ragtag army to a well-oiled machine, a fighting machine. He really did. They said he'd get the troops up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he would drill them and teach them so that they would march in unison and they would understand basic commands, because, you know, the men were coming from different places throughout the colonies. And they were each used to doing things a certain way, not exactly the makings of a great, efficient army. So anyway, it was Baron von Steuben who really, really was used to bring about this great army, truly. And, you know, at that point, the British were in Philadelphia, and they were living it up, and they were that's where the Congress met, and they had to vacate. They had to flee when the British took over Philadelphia. And Valley Forge is like less than 30 miles from Philadelphia. And but the British were partying and just living it up during the winter, and using all that was available in Philadelphia, and there were parties and dances going on, and they were feasting and revelry and so forth. And a little notice was found in the Philadelphia newspaper, and it was rather strange, considering the fact that our troops were hungry and sick and bleeding and all of the deprivation that was occurring there in the winter headquarters at Valley Forge, and yet this little announcement appeared in the Philadelphia paper from the Continental troops. Didn't have a name with it. It just said, while our enemies are growing, are partying and so forth and doing all this, we are growing stronger. We are growing stronger, and they did grow stronger. It was a declaration of confidence and a very positive statement of belief that they truly were growing stronger, and they truly did grow stronger during that winter at Valley Forge.
And Miss Barbara, I think I remember you and Mr. Wayne also saying that one of you had said, I think, that they could have left. They could have left easily.
Yes.
But they chose to stay.
They chose to stay, and it was truly a miracle that they chose to stay.
That had to be an incredible, incredible time. And, you know, God's hand had to be upon those men's hearts, because most men would flee in the light of, you know, what they were subjugated to, and the fact that they could just as easily have crept out of the camp and gone home.
Yeah. Diana, there's a story that I came across, and it was about Lafayette and his sharing with a soldier there at Valley Forge. It came to light when Lafayette returned back in 1824. But he returned to this triumphal journey throughout America, and America just welcomed him with open arms and such love, and there were banquets everywhere in his honor and gathering, and every place where he would be, there would be some old soldiers from the war that would come and pay their respects to him. And one of these old soldiers, this occurred in Virginia, one of these old veterans came and shook Lafayette's hand, and he said, "You know, you don't remember me, but I was on duty at Valley Forge. I had no covering. I had no jacket. I had nothing to keep warm, and I was doing sentry duty." And he said, "You tore your blanket in half and gave half to me, and I was able to be sustained." And it was just such a touching, just to me, just a touching picture of how it was there at Valley Forge, and the hearts that were so giving, so tender.
Wow. Well, what a stage to set for the rest of our men and women that would fight in future wars for this nation, Miss Barbara. You know, growing up and for the younger people then to have heard these stories, I'm sure it had to warm their hearts. And it was shared, a lot of these stories were shared in the textbooks, but not anymore. But if you don't mind, tell us of some of the other stories and other wars that you would like to maybe highlight today.
Well, what I'd like to do, if that's all right, Diana, is I'd like to share something that I wrote many years ago about this Memorial Day, because it talks about our brave countrymen in such a way. I want to give tribute to them. It's called Memorial Day, a time of remembering. Lest we forget. What mean ye these stones? Israel's children were to ask their fathers. The memorial stones were evidence that the living God had been with them, leading them into their promised land. Every Israelite was represented there, and each was to be told the meaning of those stones, lest they forget who gave them their freedom. On Memorial Day, every American child must be told about our memorial stones, which grace the graves where our brave countrymen rest in peace. All Americans are represented from the north, south, east, and west, the rich and the poor of every race, the famous and those known only to their loved ones, the businessmen and the farmhands, the scholars and the laborers from every city and town in this vast, wonderful land of ours. They're together now in death as they were together in life. Americans united in the belief that the principles for which they were fighting were worth living for and dying for. For these principles are eternal truths, which we Americans hold self-evident, that all men are created equal, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to protect and secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So it's government by the people, for the people, of government of the people, by the people, for the people. For freedom, freedom subject to our Creator and His law, for whom alone we receive our certain unalienable rights. Truly, the living God has been with us also, leading and guiding this land of promise, opportunity, and hope. Truly, a God-ordained nation where a man could be a man, could hold his head up and walk shoulder to shoulder with any other man. A nation where the circumstances of one's birth didn't determine the course for his life. A nation where all things are possible. What a country. Our noble dead thought so. Duty, honor, country were familiar words to the valiant Americans. We remember this day, from Bunker Hill to Gettysburg, from the muddy, bloody trenches of World War I to the Bataan Death March, Iwo Jima, the beaches of Normandy, from freezing Korea to the hot, steamy jungles of Vietnam and the sands of the Persian Gulf. Our heroes loved and served our country more than self. What mean ye these stones? These memorial stones, these stones mean everything to us. that we Americans hold dear. May God bless America.
That was awesome, Miss Barbara. And God is so good. And I just, when you said that about Joshua, I had looked up, you know, I had wanted to put on Ronald Reagan's speech at Point du Hoc. And when I was listening to it, he had mentioned Joshua. And I'll quote a part of it. It said, "The men of Normandy had faith that what they were doing was right, faith that they fought for all humanity, faith that a just God would grant them mercy on this beachhead or on the next. It was a deep knowledge, and pray God we have not lost it, that there is a profound moral difference between the use of force for liberation and the use of force for conquest. We were here to liberate, not to conquer, and so you and those others did not doubt your cause. And you were right not to doubt. You all knew that some things are worth dying for. One's country is worth dying for. Democracy is worth dying for because it's the most deeply honorable form of government ever devised by man. All of you loved liberty. All of you were willing to fight tyranny, and you knew the people of your countries were behind you. The Americans who fought here that morning knew word of invasion was spreading through the darkness back home. They thought or felt it in their hearts, so they couldn't know in fact that in Georgia they were filling the churches at 4 a.m. In Kansas, they were kneeling on their porches and praying, and in Philadelphia, they were ringing the Liberty Bell. Something else helped the men of D-Day, their rock-hard belief that Providence would have a great hand in the events that would unfold here, that God was an ally in this great cause. And so the night before the invasion, when Colonel Wolverton asked his parachute troops to kneel with him in prayer, he told them, 'Do not bow your heads, but look up, so you can see God and ask his blessing in what we're about to do.' Also that night, General Matthew Ridgway, on his cot, listening in the darkness for the promise God made to Joshua, 'I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.'"
Mm.
Wow. You know, this is a nation made by God to be a city on a hill, because I believe we need to show, as we have done in the past, and we continue to try to show, that our God is good and his mercy endures forever. And, you know, for people that are lost all over the world, Miss Barbara, what an awesome thing to see that there is a nation who is great. What makes that nation great? It is their God, the one true God. And, you know, it's just really amazing, the words of these commanders and, you know, people of great faith like Ronald Reagan that believed in God. And they knew, as you have pointed out with Alexander de Tocqueville, you know, America is good because of what was going on in the churches of America. And so today, Miss Barbara, you know, we're to the point now, unfortunately, we still have a war that is going on. You know, wars have not stopped, I guess, because men do not change. There's evil in the hearts of many men. And there's many that would, as was pointed out, would conquer. But if you don't mind, Miss Barbara, recall some of the memories of some of the other wars that comes to mind, stories of our heroes.
Well, you know, moving on from the Revolutionary War, and again, you know, Washington said many times that our nation was blessed by God and helped by him in every way throughout our fight for independence. And, you know, but going up into the War of 1812, where once again we were having to reassert ourselves and fight for freedom for the seas, freedom of the seas from Great Britain once again. There were many instances in that time that our troops saw the hand of God in a mighty, mighty way. One of those times was during the burning of our capital by the British. and the burning of the White House and Capitol. And after that began, it was God who sent hurricane-strength winds and storms throughout the region to put out the fires. And, you know, everyone who witnessed it, both the British and the Americans, recognized it was the hand of God. And then, you know, I was thinking about the Battle of Lake Erie preceding that, where Oliver Hazard Perry was commanding a ship, a fleet of ships that he had actually built on site to command and to fight against the British. And there were miracle stories there as well. And Oliver Hazard Perry gave the glory to God and said, this is the one where he said, "We have met the enemy, and they are ours." And then he went on to say in this memo that he sent to Washington, "The prayers of my wife have been answered." You know, but uh-huh. it was clearly against all odds, but he was also carrying aboard his ship the words of Captain James Lawrence: "Don't give up the ship." It was Captain Lawrence who had died in his own blood aboard his ship, commanding his men not to give up the ship. Don't give up the ship. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give up the ship. And so Oliver Hazard Perry had a flag made with those words: "Don't give up the ship." And he had that flag flown aboard his ship. Now, when his ship got so damaged it was sinking, he got into a rowboat and went to another ship amidst the gunfire, all the fire of the enemy. But he took that flag with him. Don't give up the ship. He wrapped it up, put it up under his arm, rowed to another boat, another ship, and raised that flag again. And it was on that ship then that he had the victory. But against all odds, and it looked as if he was down for the count, but God gave him the victory, and he recognized that it was God. Then we go on to Fort McHenry and Baltimore Harbor, and the tremendous bombardment by the British. It was said that was the greatest bombardment ever experienced in one place before, and that was on Fort McHenry. And but it was at Fort McHenry that General Armistead had a flag sewn that was the largest flag ever having been sewn before, and he had it raised at Fort McHenry as a statement to the British that, you know, that this was, they were not going to prevail. You know, this was a statement, you know, we are Americans, and we're not giving in, we're not giving up. And sure enough, with the storms that occurred during that bombardment, in addition to the storms, the people there had sunk ships so that it made it very, very difficult for the British ships to get in close because they couldn't get through the ships. They sunk their own ships and gave up their own property so that the British could not make it to any closer. And so, but anyway, and then, of course, that's where Francis Scott Key wrote our national anthem, which the fourth verse of which I think is the most beautiful of all. And if my memory will serve me, "Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. blessed with victory and peace. May this heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. That conquer we must, if our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Wow. Oh, wow. That is so beautiful, Ms. Barbara. And, you know, I just like the way that you point that out. And I was just thinking, you know, we are made in the image of God to do good, not evil.
Yes.
And that has that has been passed down one generation after another. It's really an incredible legacy. And it is so awesome that, you know, it just, you can see it in the history of this nation on down with the sacrifices. And, you know, our men and women that have sacrificed in the military are some of the best examples of that, that we are made in the image of God to do good, not evil, as they fight against the evil in this world.
Yes, you're right. And you know what? I think about, you know, we talked about greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends, and that Jesus said that. And we think about our brave soldiers and how they care for one another. And, you know, I don't think that I can understand that the way they do. You know, I think that is something that is so so profound and so special, you know, that is between soldiers and what they go through together and how they help one another and support one another and defend one another and protect one another. You know, there's a bond there that we don't know, that I don't think we can know it. I think it's something very, very special. I think it's a very holy thing. I think it's a God thing.
Well, you know, Ms. Barbara, when you said that, I just think of one thing. I think of the disciples that followed Jesus. And, you know, the unity that was there to the point that, you know, I think just about every one of them died a horrible death except John. And I just think, you know, they had a unity that I think, as you were talking about these brave men that had that unity, and it must be a God thing. It must come from God.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it's a holy thing. I truly do. And, you know, Diana, we have so many heroes and such a legacy, as you stated. You know, and to me, it breaks my heart that our children are not taught what is theirs, and it has been stolen away from them. Diana, it was stolen away from me. I will be 64 years old, and the schools, when I was growing up, the public schools were better than they were today, and the test scores were higher. The teachers were dedicated and committed. However, I was not taught about our great legacy. Yes, bits and pieces of this hero or that hero, but nothing like what I've discovered in the past 20 years. Nothing like what I've discovered. And that was kept from me also and from those my age. So it's been a long time since the priceless, precious heritage, our Christian heritage, has been taught as it should be taught. And but But the good news is there are those that are discovering what we've been missing, and they are looking for ways to express and to teach it. For example, Mike Huckabee has begun a series of DVDs, cartoons with America's history, and he began with Ronald Reagan. I ordered it so we can see it, and it's for children to know about the great heroes of America, and then also in the works there are DVDs being prepared that of course go all the way back through our history, and he's made it available where you can order one per month or however many come out. May not be one per month, it may be a little bit longer than that, but anyway, at a reasonable price. So here is an American who recognizes that we need to know our history, and he's doing something about it. So I'm very excited. Of course, we could give example after example, like David Barton with Wall Builders and his ministry with the DVDs and the books, and I have learned so much from him, and Peter Marshall, and just so many that are really, really doing something about it, you know.
Well, I think, Ms. Barbara, there is an awakening in America, I think, it's almost like we're to the point of almost losing, you know, the blessings from God of such an awesome and great nation with so many freedoms. And I think that is one of the reasons men like Huckabee, you know, have started to just not say but act and do something about it. And I'm grateful for you, Mr. Wayne, because, you know, you're here and you're doing just that. And I'm thinking maybe we also need to do something more specific, like set off one, like the first Monday of the month, maybe to talk about each war, you know, to give more of the stories and really dissect the war and the brave things that our men and women did, because we do need to remember. And you know, it's such a good thing because it's on podcasts, and I have found myself really enjoying, you know, just listening back to some of y'all's conversations. I was just trying to listen to your conversation about Israel. You know, it's really a great way to learn about something.
I highly recommend that teaching that Wayne Wood did, which is available on the podcast, about Israel. It was fantastic. I emailed him after that show and just told him what a blessing it was, and that I'm going to listen to it again, because there are things that he said that we went so fast, you know, I really didn't have time to process them. So I'm going to listen to it again. But it was fantastic. And Wayne Wood would be such a good person to talk about the wars, having had taught them for many years, and being a veteran himself and understanding that military history.
I think both of you and him have such a great way of bringing out, because, you know, you will bring out little points and little details, you know, and all of it adds up together. And it's such a privilege. And for you listeners, you really need to listen every Monday if you're a history buff, and just, you know, pick up some of these historical conversations, reminiscing. It's just really, it makes you proud to be an American, you know.
And that's
when
and
I
we
get
should be.
Oh.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's the point.
We should be
humbled to be an American. We should be proud to be American.
Proud to be
and they kind of go together.
And grateful,
you know,
to God.
Grateful to God,
grateful
and humbled
God.
Before Him, and recognizing that it is His hand that raised us up. And also, you know, it's so important because we do have a worldwide audience, and there are those in other countries that are listening. And it's so important to recognize that God is no respecter of persons, and what he does for one, he will do for another. And it's the condition of our hearts and the conduct of our lives that makes the difference with God. So if we humble ourselves before him and recognize that his ways are the right ways and that we must submit to him and learn of him and his ways, and he gave his life for us, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us, and the only way that we can have his life within us is if we give our hearts and our lives to him, so that he is in us and we are in him. And when the Father looks at us, he sees his Son, Jesus. And through his mercy and through his grace and through nothing that we have done to earn that place, we can't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't study for it. All we can do is to give him ourselves.
And Miss Barbara, you know, this thing. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Barbara.
That's okay.
As
go ahead.
You were saying, though, Jesus, you know, in this day and time when people are looking for answers, you know, all over the world, I mean, it's not just America that has trials and tribulations like these tornadoes. Japan just had, you know, earthquake. They tried to build as good, you know, earthquake-proof a home as they can, but, you know, to no avail, you know. Things will happen everywhere, and they do. And I think, as you were saying about Jesus, you know, Jesus is an example for us all. And I believe that America, that God is holding it up as an example to the world's nations. You know, your nation needs to serve God, needs to follow God's ways, because that's really where true abundance and success really comes from. You know, God is so good, and he brings out the best in people so they can go and, you know, as we see here with private enterprise, you know, a lot of people that just really have been inspired to do great things. And I think it stems from that, because they know that God lives within them. But I want to quote something from the Vietnam War veteran speech, memorial speech that Ronald Reagan had. And I'm looking at it. He said, unlike the other wars of this century, there were deep divisions about the wisdom and rightness of the Vietnam War. Both sides with honesty and fervor, and what more can we ask in our democracy? And yet after more than a decade of desperate boat people, after the killing fields of Cambodia, after all that has happened in that unhappy part of the world, who can doubt that the cause for which our men fought was just? That was Ronald Reagan. Who can doubt? It was, after all, however imperfectly pursued, the cause of freedom, and they showed uncommon courage in its service. Perhaps at this late date, we can all agree that we've learned one lesson, that young Americans must never again be sent to fight and die unless we are prepared to let them win. But beyond that, we remember today that all our gentle heroes of Vietnam have given us a lesson in something more, a lesson in living love. Yes, for all of them, those who came back and those who did not, their love for their families lives. Their love for their buddies on the battlefields and friends back home lives. Their love of their country lives. And I just think of that speech right there, Miss Barbara, and, you know, it's a reminder. We must never again send our young men and women to die unless we are prepared to let them win. So on this Memorial Day, I hope that the people would think about that, that, you know, we have our part to do. And, you know, we talk a lot, Miss Barbara, about John Bernard and the sacrifices that family and other families like him have made. We need to let our men be able to win, to fight a good fight. So I invite those who are listening today to look at John Bernard's website, letthemfight.blogspot.com. Letthemfight.blogspot.com. I think that would be a great memorial tribute to our men and women who have sacrificed because, you know, they gave their all for one another so that we can live in freedom. And that means we must continue to be vigilant. And that means we need to equip their fellow comrades that's fighting for us today with the ways to win.
Well said, Diana. Well said. There's nothing that we could do to honor our dead more than to help make sure that those soldiers that are fighting today have the means by which they can conquer, and the strategy and the rules of engagement and so forth, that would give honor to the dead to make sure that those that are fighting today can fight. And thank you for mentioning Joshua Bernard. I had written his name down today as, you know, he gave his all. He was called the holy man by the soldiers, and he was very, very young. I was also thinking of my cousin, Lawrence Henderson, who was a flyer in World War II, who died in action. And just remembering all those that we know personally who died in action on this Memorial Day. And there were several statements that I wanted to share that really touched my heart. One was by William Cullen Bryant, and he said, "Ah, never shall the land forget how gushed the lifeblood of her brave." Randy Vader said, "The story of America's quest for freedom is inscribed on her history in the blood of her patriots." You know, for love of country, they accepted death, and we're so grateful for them, and we praise them, and we appreciate them, and we must work to make things better for those that are fighting today.
Yes, Ms. Barbara, and I would like to ask the listeners to join us. We have a special program. It's going to be early in the morning. It's not going to be our usual 1:30 Central time that it'll be on, but it will be available for podcasts. If you don't mind, please tune in this coming Thursday at 8:30 Central time. Alabama State Representative Martha Roby, our representative to the U.S. Congress, will be on with us, Ms. Barbara. And, you know, we were in a public meeting a couple of weekends ago, and you mentioned about John Bernard and the rules of engagement and the strategy, and she was very interested. And so we get a chance to hear from her and to talk about that subject. So we urge the listeners to please tune in. Believe this woman, Martha Roby, has a great desire to serve the citizens of this great nation, and I believe wholeheartedly that she has a passion for those that are serving us in the military, and that she cares what is going on with them, and I believe that she will make a difference. Can be a part of making that difference.
So I believe so too.
They need to listen in because they need to also, if they're in other parts of the country, they can talk about our discussion to their own congressmen and women. Well, here we are at the close, Ms. Barbara. You know, we can't say enough about our military.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, we could just go on, but it's time to close. So I thank you for starting the prayer, and I think to do the closing prayer.
Thank you.
I'm all time having you pray, and I would just I will go ahead and do the closing, Ms. Barbara. Well, okay. Listeners, please go to the website www.cityonahill.tv and share the podcast. I thank God for those that have been listening and really been looking at even our old podcasts. And I was looking through them last night, and they are such a blessing. But I'd like to quote a scripture. I think that the duty of men. In John 4:23-24 says, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So, Lord, I pray that the people listening would seek your truth, that they would be mindful of what they hear, that they would have your supernatural wisdom and discernment to make a difference for all the people of our land, Lord, and not just this land, but beyond, Lord. We hear what is going on in Israel, Lord, and we know that you said that Israel is a sign for us. And, Lord, it sounds like, as it said in Luke 21, verse 20, Lord, look at the invading armies surrounding Israel, and we hear that. We hear them making plans to do just that, Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that, Lord, that the people that are listening, Lord, would help their home, their families get ready for your coming. And, Lord, if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that, Lord, they would consider this today, Lord. You said for them to just try, Lord, that you more than meet them halfway as the Father did to the prodigal son. He came running for him, Lord, even though the son had dishonored him in so many ways. And many of us listening, Lord, many of us today have dishonored you. But yet, Lord, you hold your arms out to us, and you come to our level, and you meet us. So, Heavenly Father, I pray for those that are hurting through the ravages of war, through the ravages of the tornadoes, through the ravages of the earthquakes, through the ravages of men, Lord, the dictators that live in their lands, Lord, through the ravages of false faith, Lord, that would seek to put them in bondage and kill their children, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would make a way for them to see you, who you truly are, that your love for them is forever, that you have a place for them in heaven. And Heavenly Father, you prepare such a place for those that would humble themselves and seek your face, Lord, and turn from their evil ways. So, Lord, I just pray for those that are listening that does not know you, to try you, that you are such a good and gracious God, Lord, that this earth is not our home and that there is something better. And, Lord, I thank you for all our guests on this radio show that you've gifted us, Lord, men such as Dan Fraley who said, Lord, that, Lord, this earth for a non-believer is as close to heaven he or she may ever get. And for a believer, today, this place on earth may be the closest, will be the closest they'll ever be to a hell. We thank you, Lord, that there is a better place where there will be no sorrow, no pain, no tears. And Lord, I pray that everyone listening would want that for their families and for themselves, and that you are just a prayer away. And that, Lord, they would consider that when they die, they will die alone. That it does not matter what others have shared with them, what others have told them. Lord, I know that others have been misled, Lord, that it is right not to believe in God. But, Lord, we just thank you, and I thank you for Miss Barbara and others like her, Lord, that we know, Lord, that there's a better way because of the testimony in their lives, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray that many that does not have that testimony in their lives would seek your holy word, because you said man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we thank you for our men and women and their families that is in our military, Lord, fighting for us. Heavenly Father, they lay down their lives and prepare themselves to do just that if need be, Lord. Because of unnamed people like us, people that they don't even know, they do it out of duty, Lord. No greater love hath one than the one that laid down his life for another. And just as Jesus did that for us on the cross, Lord, we pray that they will hearken to you, that the Holy Spirit will speak to them and help them to realize, Lord, that there is no greater love for them than the one that Jesus gave when he gave himself on the cross, when he became man, when he left heaven to come down and bear the pain of sin, Lord, that they can see that there is a better way. We thank you for the privilege of coming to you boldly, as you said, to come boldly before the throne of grace, Lord, and give everything to you in prayer. Nothing is too hard. Nothing too small. So right now, Lord, I just make a plea for those listening to open their hearts to you, Lord, to try you and taste, Lord, that your word is sweet. We thank you, Lord, for this land, the home of the brave, the land of the free, that you'll help our Christian leaders, Lord. Give them the wisdom and discernment that they need to fight the good fight, Lord. And we thank you and we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. What a blessing. Oh, God is so good. You know, we really, I didn't know what you were going to say. I certainly didn't know what I was going to say. But as always, when we recall the blessings of God, it is good.
Amen.
And Miss Barbara, I'll let you close. I've said enough.
Okay. Listeners, we do thank you so much for joining us today. And we would ask the Lord to bless you, make his face. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. God bless you. Bye-bye.